The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to columbustoday.com, keyword dentally speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kavitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kavitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-9769 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kavitko.
Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko on 94.7 FM WSNY. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko, and thank you for joining me today here on Sunny 95. Now, today's show, we have a guest with us on the phone. We're going to introduce him here in just a second. But before I do, I would like to give out today's question of the day. Today's question of the day is, what percent of people with periodontal disease were considered high risk for diabetes? This is according to the Journal of Public Health Dentistry. What percent of people with periodontal disease were considered high risk for diabetes, according to the Journal of Public Health Dentistry? Your guesses are welcome by calling 459-9769, or you can send us an email to dentallyspeaking@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to read your answers on the air, and we will be giving out the answer to the question later in the show. All right, now, with me on the phone, and we're going to introduce him, and then we're going to bring his mic up, is Dr. Philip W. Cooper, Jr. Dr. Cooper authored a book called Why African American Children Cannot Read. And Dr. Cooper is, he currently resides and works in Savannah, Georgia. He is a graduate of Meharry Medical College of the School of Dentistry and co-founder and chief investigator for Smiles Are Meaningful Incorporated, a research organization whose focus is the impact of sleep apnea on growth and development in African American children. Dr. Cooper has presented and or keynoted at multiple sites on the subject of healthcare disparities and learning disabilities. The New Frontier, inclusive of the National Medical Association, Georgia Dental Society, the Georgia Association of Educators, Chatham Association of Educators, State of Georgia Title I Directors Conference, and there are more, but I think I'll use up the whole show if I tell everybody all these. Currently, he is collaborating with the Mitchell County, Georgia School District in the development of healthcare disparities and learning disabilities assessment modalities and the Savannah-Chatham County School District's Training Innovative Academic Options Pilot Program. He is a member of the National Dental Association, International Association of Orthodontics, American Association of Functional Orthodontics, Mid-American Orthodontic Society, and Academy of Sleep Dentistry, National Black Child Development Institute, and a number of other health and education-focused organizations. Dr. Cooper, you come you have a great pedigree there, and I'm fortunate to have you on my show, and I do appreciate you getting up so early in the morning to be on the show with us. I know you're in Atlanta, which means, or rather Savannah, which means it's also 7 o'clock in the morning there, right?
Correct.
So, you wrote this provocative book, this book with this title, Why African American Children Can't Read, and it's provocative enough as it is, but then we hear that you're a dentist, and people are going to wonder, you know, how does dentistry and the ability of children to read tied together. Now, we had you on the show before, and we've covered some of this in the past episode, but for those folks that maybe didn't tune in that day, let's try to give them a synopsis of what they missed, and then we'll move on into some more detail as this show progresses, okay?
Yes.
All right, so give me what's the skinny? I mean, why is it that young children can't read?
They fail to develop the neurocognitive system necessary for reading comprehension, which means they do not develop the memory bank necessary to read. You learn to read not only just reading words, but you have to have the memory bank for the auditory part, the visual part, and also the conversion of that into reading. Then, of course, that goes into writing. Kids who do not develop those neural systems very early, or they develop impaired systems, will always struggle because they just do not have the foundation for reading comprehension. Kids who start off reading well, read words, by the time they get to the third grade, you need to put the comprehension portion in there, and that's where the brain needs to be able to function or put all of its focus on developing that reading portion by connecting all the parts of the brain that are involved in reading.
So it's very, very important at an early age to develop, first of all, these pathways. And I know that you wrote in your book how you play a game with your grandchildren, or maybe I guess they play the game themselves, about, and it's called I've Got One. Can you explain that?
Yes. My grandkids, the game is played very simply. I've got one red, and then the child says, I've got one blue. And then you say, well, I've got one yellow. And you go down the number of, you know, the colors that's in their memory bank, and it's a very simple example of what their memory, how large their memory bank is.
So at this point, they're just working on the pathways. They're not necessarily learning that cognition to recognize things yet. They're remembering that the last time they lost the game because they couldn't remember the color magenta, for example. But
exactly.
But then there comes a point at a certain age where they now have to put these concepts together and understand them. So now you go from remembering the number 2 and the number 4 to understanding that 2 times 4 is 8.
Correct.
And that happens at about what age? Is that kindergarten?
That's in pre-K.
Okay, so children then need the stimulation of working their neural pathways in order to be able to read and comprehend. That can be done by siblings, that can be done by parents, and what you are saying that families of maybe a lower socioeconomic level or status don't have the time, don't have the patience, don't have the money to do this, or how is that associated?
Well, all too often the parents are a part of the vicious cycle of poor education. They may not have the educational background or the concepts themselves, so example would be a young child of 16 who has a baby, and they haven't finished high school, they haven't finished all of the academic prerequisites, and therefore they have a child, and they can't pass on what they don't know.
Right.
So the vicious cycle is that the child who's undeveloped in the neural aspect has a child who has potential but is not given the exposure in the home environment.
You have, and it's okay, if it's okay, I'm going to read a passage from your book. I thought it was very good. And it says, why? It starts off by saying, why am I at risk? Is it because my mother is single? Is it because my father does not live with us? Is it because I receive free lunches? Is it because my mother did not finish high school? Is it because I perform poorly in school? Is it because I see no future beyond my neighborhood? Is it because I say screet for street? Is it because my school is a Title I school? Is it because someone said, I am? Or is it all of the above or none of the above? Is it more than the above? And I really like that passage. It almost reads like a poem, even though it's not. And you just hit on the one where the parent may not even know that the child has said something incorrectly, such as screet, for example.
Exactly.
Oh, here's one. They say idea. The word is idea, but they say ideal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the screet, great, scrawny is what I use. But the reason that happens is during the development of the neural system as they learn to connect certain words. In the English language, we have letters, of course, that when they're put together, they sound differently than in their phonemic scenario. They sound different than what you actually see. Many of them cannot put the S-T-R together. They can say stir, but they can't say street.
Oh, okay.
And so that's a neurological-based scenario.
I see. Did not develop that pathway then.
Right. It's okay. A pathway that's missing there that they're not connecting enough doing that auditory transition to, you know, from the sound to the actual letters that they see. So it comes out street.
Interesting.
Rather than street.
We do have to go to a break. In fact, we're a little bit up against a break, a little bit late. So stay with me, please. I have so many more questions for you. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Sunny 95, 94.7, and we'll be right back. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. I live my life and practice dentistry by 4 very important principles: comfort, compassion, respect, and care. They are my guide to providing the very best and most comfortable dental care for you and your family. We want you to feel safe, relaxed, and confident that you are getting the very best care. If you need to correct one tooth or have a total smile makeover, we can help. We provide cosmetic and restorative services, including tooth whitening, crowns and bridges, complete and partial dentures, root canals, extractions, and implants. At Dr. Kavitko & Associates, we work hard to earn your trust.
Call to schedule an appointment, 262-9588, or online at drkavitko.com.
Dr. Kavitko & Associates.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
Make me smile like the sun. Fall out of bed, sing like a bird. Dizzy in my head, spin like a record.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask, here on 94.7 Sunny 95. And while we were gone for the break, we had a couple guesses come in to our question of the day. And today's question of the day is, if you don't remember, the question of the day is, what percent of people with periodontal disease were considered high risk for diabetes according to a report in the Journal of Public Dentistry? Guesses came in from Barbara, who guessed 20%. Patricia guessed 53%. And feel free to give us a call as well if you want. I know people are shy. So you can send your guesses to dentallyspeaking@gmail.com or call 459-9769. Also, I want you to know that this show is available on iTunes. This show and all of the other shows that we've done, search Dentally Speaking or Dr. Kavitko. And while I'm at it, you can follow me on Twitter at Dr. Kavitko. It's all caps, DRKVITKO. And to do that, you go to www.twitter.com/Dr. Kavitko. Okay. So keep your guesses coming, please. Very much appreciate that. And again, for those of you that are maybe just tuning in, on the phone with us is Dr. Philip Cooper Jr. Dr. Cooper wrote a book called Why African American Children Cannot Read. He is a dentist, and he is explaining to us how a dentist can help young children read, which if they can read and learn better when they're younger, will help them in their later adulthood. And in fact, before the break, we were talking about how adults grow up to say the word screet instead of street. And Dr. Cooper was explaining that as a young child, that person did not develop the neural pathway to say the STR together. So that's where we left off, Dr. Cooper, correct?
Yes.
And so now we have to go forward from that. And we have to go back and figure out what can we do, what can you do as a dentist to make it so that all children, and by the way, there are more children in by numbers that are in a poor socioeconomic level that are Caucasian than African American. It's just that by percentage is a little bit out of whack, correct?
Yes. The key factor is early diagnosis. The earlier you can diagnose the airway scenario, the better it's for the child, no matter what their ethnicity is. The key factor is early diagnosis. And that's one of the things we do with the healthcare disparity scenarios. Too many kids who are in poverty are being diagnosed as asthma, bronchitis, and I'm encouraging physicians to take that one step more to follow the pediatric guidelines that talk about if a child snores, then there's a protocol that they should follow. Again, too often we see the diagnosis of asthma, bronchitis, and they're given the nasal sprays, et cetera. That only takes care of the nasal area, but does not take care of the true airway obstruction scenario. So the key factor is early diagnosis.
Right. I think you wrote in the book about a child that just kept getting diagnosed with the same thing, and they would give him an inhaler, and then you you actually did an exam and determined, and I don't remember if it was through an ICAT or what you determined it through, that this child had an obstructed airway. The nasopharyngeal airway was lacking. And you sent a letter, I believe, to or called the physician. Tell me about that story.
Well, the child presented to the office with the airway scenario, signs and symptoms. And what we did was do an exam. We did a septometric and then the number of other indicating exams. So I asked the parent to have the doctor call me when they went in for the next checkup. Well, the doctor calls and says, this is Dr. Jones, and you want to talk about Mary. And I told him that I believe that Mary had an upper airway obstruction scenario, sleep apnea, and talked about the signs and symptoms. His response was, oh, well, we're treating it as asthma. And I said, well, if you look at the cephalometric, you understand, we'll see where there's a closure there.
Let me interrupt for just a second. A cephalometric is an X-ray from the side of the person's head. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure the listeners knew what you were talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a diagnostic X-ray to see the airway passages inside the face. So the one thing I found is a lot of physicians do not know how to read those kinds of X-rays. Mm-hmm. But in any event, my response was the child should be referred to an ENT or a specialist to further evaluate and get a final determination. And the doctor said, okay, well, they're having difficulty in school. And I said, well, that's an indicator. Oh, and they are a behavior problem. Oh, that's another indicator. But, well, we're going to just treat it as asthma, and thank you for your comment, and just hung the phone up.
Huh.
So this kid was from a outlying county, and in this particular instance, the child was Caucasian. So it's not relegated specifically to African-American kids. It's in all populations. However, the percentage or prevalence in African-American kids seems to be a lot higher.
Now, I'm just curious, were you able to get that child the help that you know he needed, or was he one of the ones that then had to fall through the cracks because you couldn't get the medical community to understand?
I have not seen the child since. Well, yes, I have. We did refer or try to get a referral to to an ENT through another physician, and it still didn't work. So, and I haven't seen the child since.
And that's
critical for us in terms of healthcare delivery. In Georgia, a dentist cannot refer directly to an ENT or a specialist. It has to go through their primary care physician, PCP.
Now, that is based on an insurance ruling, I'm thinking you're talking, because if I don't have insurance and I want my child seen by an ENT, I have the right to make an appointment, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but
exactly.
If it's your insurance company, it might say to you, hey, we're not going to pay for an ENT visit unless there's a referral from a physician, and they're saying it cannot be a dentist.
Yes, and usually these are kids who are on the public assistance. They're on Medicaid of some sort.
Okay.
And that's one of the bigger issues. The example would be, and how does that impact healthcare? Hey, if you have the operation for the adenoids and tonsils, nasopharyngeal and turbinates very early, then the child does not have the necessity for asthma medication for the next 5, 6, 10 years, nor may they have the medication for the ADD that follows. Look at the dollars and cents when you expand that out in terms of how much is being spent with the early diagnosis and treatment.
So you're saying it'll save the government a bunch of money to listen to what you're saying, to what dentists are saying, that these children need to have their airway adjusted through a removable appliance. By the way, it's something very non-invasive, no surgery, right? You just wear this appliance, and it allows the structures to grow, opening the airway. A lot cheaper than drugs for ADD, for being in the special classes in school, and just being labeled for the rest of their life, right?
That's on point.
Okay. Okay, can you now obviously stay with us because we're not done yet. I've got some other things I want to ask you about, but we are getting close to a break. And when I come back, what I want you to ponder over the break is, because we only have about a 6-minute segment, is I'm going to ask you what it is that you want people to know if they take, no other lesson than the one or two you're going to mention when we come back with them from this show. Okay, so hang tight, please.
All right.
I do want people to know that we've had a couple of guesses to the answer of the question. We had Barbara guessed 20%, Patricia guessed 53%, and The question, for those of you that don't remember, is what percent of people with periodontal disease were considered high risk for diabetes? And that is according to the Journal of Public Health Dentistry. And we will give the answer when we return, probably soon thereafter, because we want to give Dr. Cooper as much time as possible to finish up his thoughts. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on 94.7 WSNY, Sunny 95, and we'll be right back.
Seagull Bags encourages you to take custom to a new level. Located at 3343 North High Street, just south of East North Broadway. They specialize in handmade custom courier bags and backpacks. All of their bags are completely waterproof and built to withstand any nasty condition you can think of. Stop by their shop and design a custom bag from scratch with one of the people that is actually going to build your bag. You choose the size, all the colors, and what pockets you need and where you want them. They also do custom embroidery. They have a full line of bags from tool bags to gigantic backpacks. Their bags are ideal for cyclists, students, or anyone that values quality and customization. Check out their website at seagullbags.com or come visit their Clintonville storefront. Let them make something amazing for you.
Canton City Chinese Restaurant is an established, family-owned and operated Chinese restaurant. You can come and sit down and enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of the Canton City, or if you're on the go or need lunch for your office or dinner for home, call us at 614-261-0262 to order takeout. We have a variety of Cantonese, Hunan, and Sichuan cuisine. You will love the price and be astonished how generous the portions are. Come visit us in our fantastic location at 4330 North High Street, located just south of Henderson in Clintonville. We are open 7 days a week. If you cannot pick from our extensive menu, we would suggest you start with our General Tso chicken. It is the best in the city. When you are craving Chinese food and have tried all the rest, come and order from the best, Canton City Chinese Restaurant in Clintonville. Call us at 614-261-0262 or stop by and see us at 4330 North High Street.
You know I can't smile without you. I can't smile without you.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Sunny 95, 94.7 FM. Thank you so much for joining me. It's a great day. It's been a good show so far. We have about 6 or 7 minutes left, and so we want to give our guest who's on the phone a chance to give us his parting thoughts. We have Dr. Philip Cooper, who wrote a book, Why African American Children Cannot Read. Dr. Cooper happens to be African American himself. He treats 95% of his patient load is African American folks. However, it doesn't just affect African American children. It affects all children who, through poverty, in a lot of instances, are not getting enough oxygen to their brain because of the formation of their adenoids, their tonsils, their oral pharyngeal airway, and all of that. And so, Dr. Cooper, with this last 6 minutes or so, can you just give everybody a concise idea of what's going on? I mentioned the oxygen to the brain, and it is an orthodontic appliance. And so, you know, just kind of, in your own words, tell us what we need to know.
For parents, the bottom line is if your child snores, then there's the probability that there's an airway obstruction scenario either in the nose, the nasal concha and turbinates, or in the upper airway or respiratory system. Again, no child and no one, even adults, should snore. Children should not snore because they're interfering with the oxygen saturation that's necessary for developing the brain and the body, et cetera. So the biggest thing that I say to parents, the very last thing I say, is if your child snores, they need to talk to the doctor. If the child stops breathing during that sleeping period, in other words, they're snoring and then you hear that pause, if they stop breathing, then that is a red flag that indicates that the pediatric society has already determined that that child needs to be evaluated for obstructive sleep apnea syndrome. Many of the cases, they've gone to the physician, they've gone to the clinics, and the question is never asked, does your child snore? And that's one of the things parents need to know, that if their child snores, they should force the issue or at least push the issue.
So they need
most offices do not, or clinics, they don't ask the question if a child snores at all.
Okay. So parents then from this need to take the information, tell your physician, tell your dentist that your child snores. That's step one. Step two is if they also stop breathing, make sure that's known, because they are going to need to be seen by an ENT. When you stop breathing, it stops your heart for a second, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't stop the heart.
Oh, that's just sneezing.
Those brief interludes of apnea. Everything slows down, but the heart doesn't stop. In fact, the heart tends to pump up a little harder because it's not getting enough oxygen.
Okay. And then explain the treatment that you or I would do as a dentist that's going to basically solve this problem, going to allow this child to read and allow this child to learn so much better. And it sounds too simple to be true, but it is. So go ahead and explain just, what is the treatment? What is this non-surgical approach that is done?
The non-surgical approach is to create a patent airway. In other words, an airway that it's clear, that doesn't have any obstructions in it. In addition to exposing the children at the same time to the reading concepts and the learning concepts, as well as at the same time the brain is developing those neural systems. The better the system, the more exposure, the better the child's going to have the ability to read and to comprehend at a later date.
And you do this with a removable appliance. What does it look like? Does it look like an orthodontic retainer? What does it look like?
It looks like a football mouthpiece.
Seriously? Okay, so it covers all of the upper teeth or all of the bottom teeth or both?
Both. Well, the child bites into it because what you want the child to do is to actually breathe through the nose. The air that passes through the nose is a little purer and a little more concentrated than air that's passing through the mouth. It has so many other things that's involved. I think I use the term, dentists are the gate holders of health. In other words, everything that happens to us, we catch a cold, where do you catch it? Between you, it goes in the nasal passages or it goes in the mouth. So what we have to see is that we understand that if this arch is closed or an arch is rounded like it should be, we're talking about the upper teeth and the lower teeth.
Right.
If they're in the proper position and the tongue is in the proper position, the face will grow properly, the nasal passages will grow properly, the child will breathe better and better, and, of course, the brain will develop the neural systems necessary.
Okay. I'm just curious, do you have a question, I guess, to our question of the day of... what percent of people, I know it's a completely different medical topic, but what percent of people with periodontal disease were considered high risk for diabetes? You might even have a real good idea. Any guesses?
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I was trying to stay out of that.
Oh, okay, that's fine, that's fine. So let me tell you that we had two more guesses. Mary has guessed 66%. Michael guessed 80%. Michael was the most correct. The answer, 96%. 96% of people with periodontal disease were considered high risk for diabetes. And I do know that in the African-American population, diabetes is a high percentage, correct? And that's why I thought this question might be of interest to you.
Yeah, I didn't want to put a percentage on it because I probably would say more like 90% if they have the periodontal disease. Because, again, these are your mouth breathers. That changes the oral flora. If they have the upper airway obstruction scenario, they become mouth breathers as kids. They're the tongue suckers. They're your tongue-tied kids. They're going to have more periodontal disease because the mouth is open, it's drying out more. You have more susceptibility to infection. And then you were talking about oral care, personal oral care. So the diabetes is another issue that we're looking at in terms of how sleep apnea develops or impacts the development of diabetes in the long run for adults.
Wow, so you may be working on another book, huh?
Yeah, so there's a connection, and that again, that involves the healthcare disparity scenario.
Uh-huh.
Children who are developing between the ages of 3 and 5, airway obstruction or airway conditions impact all of those things. Again, high blood pressure is a result, obesity, asthma, respiratory infections, and there's a lot of connections with SIDS.
Sudden infant death syndrome. Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very good information, very powerful. I so much appreciate you being on my show and having written this book so that you can get the topic of discussion going, which I know was one of your goals. And again, thanks so much. You have a great day. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on 94.7, Sunny 95. Tune in next Sunday morning at 7 for another show. I'll be here. It's live. Feel free to call in, email, heckle me, whatever you want to do. Thanks again. And see you next Sunday.
you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to columbustoday.com, keyword dentally speaking, to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's shows.